So here's a thought. What if I told you that you don't have to pick just one path in aesthetics? That wearing multiple hats early in your career can actually be a good thing. Welcome to Beauty Babble. I'm Suzanne. And after years of teaching and mentoring professionals in the industry, I've seen that people who really thrive are the ones who stay curious, grab opportunities, and grow with intention. Even it means juggling many roles, many hats. Today's guest is Shelby Hopkins, a Sedesco trained esthetician who's doing just that, working in a medical spa, supporting and working a beauty distribution, and even helping with social media. We're going to talk about the modern aesthetics career, what it really looks like, how education can boost your confidence, what goes on behind the scenes in clinical and brand working, and how to balance ambition without burning out. Let's get into it. Hi, Shelby. So glad you could make it and join us as a guest today on Beauty Babble. Why don't you take us to the beginning? Like, what drew you into aesthetics?
Hi, Suzanne. Thank you for having me. I'm so excited. I first started in high school, so I did cosmetology there, and I first started with hairstyling, but the skin really interested me. So when I was kind of searching around Calgary for a course, Sedesco really stood out to me. Mostly the first thing that drew me to it was that it was international certification. That was really interesting to me. I think with the job force just in general, it's hard to stand out. So for me, that really appealed to me. So yeah, game over. I went to Sedesco and I really enjoyed it. I just came out of, like I said, I came out of high school into Sedesco, so that was very huge for me. Because I was such a baby, so I feel like I grew so much there. It was just like personal growth, I feel like, just having the older, like 20 older girls there, and they like taught me so much, and I just grew as an esthetician so much. So yeah, I just loved how science backed it was. That was another thing that really drew me to it. I was always very I really liked school and I liked the reason behind a lot of things. So I was always asking why. So Sedesco was really great because it was so in depth.
It is a very in-depth program. For those listening, if you don't know, there's a lot of aesthetics trainings out there. Sedesco is an international recognition. So withholding that certification, people in this industry, most of them, not all of them know about it, but it does take you to that next level and sets you apart from some of the base level trainings that are out there. Yeah. And
Yeah.
you didn't stop just there, right? So you started your aesthetics career and you went to work in a spa, is that right?
Yep, that's right. So graduated Sedesco and then I worked in a few day spas doing traditional aesthetics. And then when COVID hit, all the spas closed down. So I was like, okay, let me pivot. And I went back to school for medical aesthetics, which is so huge. Like that's such a popular type of aesthetics now in the industry and just on social media. It's so popular now. So,
Quick question for you. Do you think there was a lot of value in first doing your aesthetics, getting some hands-on training and learnings in the treatment room with people, the public, then going to school? Because a lot of estheticians take a full program, stay in school, and carry on to their medical. And they really, I know you get hands-on practicum for sure in training, but it's quite different when you're out in the real world. Would you agree?
Yeah, I completely agree. I think for one, because Sedesco was so big for me, even just with practical training in Sedesco. So I think with that and how much science I learned with Sedesco was so huge in how I learned the medical aesthetics, like just the foundation that I learned from Sedesco. And like you said, just being in the workforce for a bit. I knew I always wanted to do that because I wanted to practice and like hone in on my skills. But that really helped like learn, I think, what direction I wanted to go into. So,
And did
yeah,
you know
doing.
what direction? Did you already know? Because I mean, I know in the end we're going to get into everything you do, but at that time, were you set in that traditional way that this is what I'm going to go do? That
Yeah,
path
I
you're
had.
setting.
If someone told me what I was doing at this point in my life, I'd be like, "No, what the heck? Who is this girl?" So, definitely no. I thought maybe I would go into more medical aesthetics. But I feel like I learned more about it when I was in the aesthetics, like beauty industry. Whereas before, when I first went into Sedesco, I kind of just assumed I would stay at that. So even just like being in the beauty industry more and learning about all the technology and the trends and all of that, I feel like I was more interested in it. And I will say too, I feel like after getting experience in traditional aesthetics, I've wanted more. Like I think in the beauty industry, I mean, you probably know this too, Suzanne. You're probably the same way, is that I just like everyone's like so curious and there's like always more training to do and you're like, oh, I want to learn more. So I just remember like doing traditional aesthetics and then being like, okay, I would love to like build on top of that, you know?
Did you
So
find that was also confidence? Like that
a
you
thousand
gain
percent.
that confidence at, well, say the foundational level of aesthetics that now you're ready for more?
Yep, 1,000%. I think that's why I wanted to get more like practical practice and like work in the workforce because I didn't know how traditional aesthetics would be in a spa, like performing them. So I think that was really good to start with. And it's so different in medical aesthetics too, because it's very like results based, more technology based. So I feel like you have to be really confident with your clients so you know, like, so they know exactly what they're getting. You know, after one treatment, some people have very unrealistic goals after one treatment. So, so I think it's really important to be like fully confident and know what you're talking about because, I mean, especially with social media these days, like, you get so much information off of the internet. And now ChatGPT and all of that fun stuff. So, yeah, I feel like it's really important to be confident, especially with medical aesthetics.
Right,
So,
yeah. And because the whole idea is, like you said, be able to speak to the client, keeping it realistic for them so they're not disappointed and that they still come back to you.
exactly. And then it's a whole other game of like how to use these devices, and you're like, well, there's so many different things to learn now, and yeah.
So, speaking on that part, before we move into more, what do you think from like, because where you are now and where you were, because I mentioned about you started with aesthetics, I call it foundational programs because there's so many other advanced programs you can take as well, that you went out, did the work on people, you learned a bit more how to speak to clients, which I know you would have had in your Sedesco training as well, but it just adds on. It's like a toolbox, right? You keep adding more to your toolbox. And then going into medical aesthetics, giving that gap time to do it. What do you think? I don't know if you can talk to this or not, but what do you think the difference is if you went right back to back and took both programs without going out into the industry and working on people versus what you did? You took a gap time. Well, ironic, it was because of COVID, but it's okay. Kind of journey happens for reasons, I feel, but then you went back. So is there anything you could talk to our listeners about, like maybe help them understand your thoughts on it? Because I know you're also around students right now. So I'm curious, what advice do you give them?
I think what I said before, like I really appreciated working on clients and getting the comfortability of like even just touching people, you know, like I remember in school and they were like, okay, you know, start cleansing their face. And you were like, okay, so you just like touch their face. You're like, what? You know? So, it was just getting like really comfortable and like learning how to talk with clients, like knowing how to, you know, bring them back to the pedicure station and, you know, how to like graciously talk with them and like be professional, especially when you're so young. I think that's another thing. Like a lot of younger girls, I found it really hard to be taken seriously. So I think for me also, like learning my confidence, learning, you know, to be stern with people in, you know, like a kind and professional way, that was really important. So yeah, I loved my like gap year of working because I feel like I learned so much, and just like working with people and working in the workforce and the beauty industry, it was just extra experience, I think, was like really helpful to then feel ready enough to go back into medical aesthetics. And also just like I feel like it's really overwhelming learning so many different skills, especially just in traditional aesthetics. So you're learning so many different things, you know, nails and facials and skin and ingredients, and there's so much already that like doing traditional aesthetics and then going straight into medical aesthetics is a lot. Like that's a lot to learn all at once. So it was kind of nice even for me to just like practice what I learned, just traditional aesthetics, and then I can move kind of to the next level of, you know, more intensive treatments.
Right. That's excellent. Okay, so now I have a list of things because there's a few things we're going to talk about, right, Shelby?
Love it.
So you don't only work in a medical spa now. So you also help with a very large distribution company in Calgary. You wear a few hats in that role as well. So tell us, how did you end up doing aesthetics, going to Sodesco certification, working, and then these paths have presented themselves? So why don't you just talk about how that all kind of came about?
Yeah, I feel so lucky because, like I said before, I never would have even thought that I would be at this point. So it is really cool the opportunities that you get, and you don't even think those positions or job titles are even a thing in the beauty industry. So that was really exciting for me. I got offered the job at one of the distributors here in Calgary. I like to say the top because I'm biased.
That's fair. That's okay. I get it.
So yeah, so I got the opportunity to work part-time. So I was working part-time and then also in a spa.
What role did
And
you do
then
there at that time at the distribution?
I was mostly in sales, so I was like front and in the showroom.
Okay.
Yeah, and then after a few years, I would say about 1 or 2, I think it was around 2, that I moved into more like manager side of stuff. Again, I was very eager to learn more things. I was always very excited. So yeah, so I moved into yeah more managing the one of the showrooms in Calgary here. So that was really exciting. I think that's a huge thing in aesthetics too, and like the beauty industry is people forget how much business side of it that you need to learn and know too. So that was really exciting for me because it opened my eyes to so many other things. And not only that, like the education of like all the skincare and the technology and just again, customer service was huge. I always joke with people, I'm like, everyone needs to work in customer service so they understand people. Because
That
it
would be an
really,
asset in this industry
right?
for sure.
I know. So yeah, just for people to understand how to deal with other people. But yeah, so I somehow got myself into that, and yeah, I've been there ever since. I've been there for almost 6 years now, Suzanne, which is
Wow.
crazy. Yeah.
Been that long already, hey?
I
So you're
know.
doing, and each time from listening to you that you have grown in that position at the distribution, beauty distribution center, and you're still doing your aesthetics though.
Yeah,
How
so
has that
the
empowered you, do you feel? Like, how has that helped you with your confidence, your empowerment of, because that's how you came across to me too, is that, you know, I know you don't know everything, nor do I, and that's okay, but you're eager to learn it and you want to know more. How do you find that that is such an asset in this industry?
Oh my gosh, such a huge asset. I feel like for one, learning how to talk to not only estheticians but to clients and customers, because I mean, I feel like especially in Sedesco, you're excited, you're learning all these like new vocab words and all of this stuff, but then also kind of like bringing it back and talking to people in a way that they understand has been like really huge. So I feel like I learned that a lot in the distribution, that I got to kind of talk with people and tell them things in a way that they understand, which was also I think what a lot of people appreciated. And that was huge for me too when I was in the treatment room, because again, then they could understand it in a way that made sense to them. So,
How did you come across that? What happened? Did something happen to make you realize that?
I just remember, honestly, I love all the people that I work with, but I remember there was a younger girl, and she was, I was one of the supervisors at the distributor at that point, and she, just graduated Sedesco, and you can tell, right? They're younger, not all of them, but this particular girl, she was younger, in her, I think she was in her 20s, and she was talking to a customer at the distribution company, and she was using all these like fancy words, right? Like even just like, oh, sebum and all of that stuff.
Right.
And you know, you could tell that they were like not fully understanding it. I mean, it is for professionals, but sometimes we get hairstylists or massage therapists or whatever. So I think this particular customer was a bit confused. And then once this the worker there, the Sedesco graduate, she kind of started talking in a little bit more like easier to digest terms. The customer was like, oh, that's exactly what I want. I love that. And that's what like really clicked for me, where I was like, oh, okay, so some people, I mean, obviously, but we're taking in all this information and understanding all these words, but not everyone is. So I really enjoyed that, and I thought that really helped with like treatment sales, retail sales in the spa, in the distribution company. So yeah, that was a
Yeah,
really interesting time.
that's the part that I find when graduates go right into their own business in their own treatment room and they're all alone. You
Yep.
learn so much from others, and I'm not saying don't do it. Of course, it's such a game changer when you work for someone or you work on your own. It's two different things, but there's a lot of things that you gain from everything that you're exposed to, and that's a
Yep.
huge component that I find. That interaction with people and how to adapt when you're speaking to them. And it comes with practice and time. But if you don't have anything around you noticing these things or people around you, you don't know that you maybe missed something in that conversation. Kudos to her, that young girl that actually caught on to that and switched her vocabulary. Because I've seen it where sometimes when we come into this industry, and we have our medical aesthetic certification, it takes us to a different level.
Yep.
And we speak to that level sometimes, and we need to remember that we don't need to, how do I say this nicely? Well, I'm always blunt. So trying to show off, right? Like that you know all this stuff, and that's good.
1,000%.
However, like you still need to be empathetic, humble. And if you need to pull that card, because you've got it. Because you are young, because I got into this very young, just like you, out of school. I went in, people didn't take me seriously. I was like, oh, how am I going to do this? So then I had to pull that card out many times for them to believe me that I know what I'm talking about scientifically, maybe not through experience. No, I don't know what you're going through at 50, but I know now. But then I'm 20, I don't know what you're feeling, what you notice in your skin, but science and proof and education. Then you pull that card out. But I've had to help sometimes professionals on that education side, like especially when I used to do consulting. It's like, let's bring it down. Like you use the word sebum. Like not everyone knows. So sebum, that's your oil production on your skin. Like define it then. Tell them why you're using the word and simplify it. And I think that's really important. That's a key thing. And that's probably where, yeah, you gained a lot out of having that exposure.
1,000%. Yeah, and I think it's the other thing that I learned too. I totally agree. Experience is huge because I feel like once you get the experience, the confidence, and then also like you said, just you don't have to pull out all the scientific terms. I feel like you become more of a person to them. So then they trust you more, right? You become more authentic and they start to understand you a bit more. And I feel like because we're in such a service-based industry, people are booking with you because you're you, right? And they like you and they want to see you. So it's once you kind of like connect with them in that way, it also makes a difference. And I will say to your other point, like working in the distribution company, I absolutely loved all the people that I met. And same thing, like when you're working by yourself and you're alone in the treatment room, it's tough to like continually learn. And, you know, there's always new tips and tricks and things to learn and all of that fun stuff. So it's been really cool also talking with other estheticians from other points in their life and businesses and just learning so much about all of that and just meeting so many people. It's such a cool community. So, yeah, it was really, really cool the exposure that I got in the distribution company.
And you continue to have it. And then also, too, because you're in that, the brands are updating, new things are coming out. So it's almost like you're on top of it all, right? You
Yeah.
probably have the latest and the greatest, not necessarily because they're bringing something in, but maybe it's discussed. Should we bring that piece of equipment in? What does our
Yeah.
equipment do? Oh, we're going to have someone come in and show us. Or the brand changes and says, oh, we've updated, we've got this. Like, whereas if you're in your own treatment room, by yourself, that's the part you're missing out on, right? I'm not saying everyone has to go run out and work at a distribution company, but the point is that this is changing so often. Like it's mind-boggling. I swear it's every week there's something new coming up,
Yeah. I
right?
totally agree. And like social media is such a huge thing now too. So, and things just change so fast. Like everyone's just taking in all this information so quickly. But
And then the myths versus the truths.
exactly. I mean, gosh, there's so
Even
many
for professionals,
trends.
this is, I'm not speaking just to the public, our clients. Even professionals, we fall into these and go, wait a minute, what is that? So bringing that back to education and try to understand it more so, I think is helpful instead of each thing individually. But when you're sitting in it, like your position at a distribution company, you get to see it all coming at you, and then you have to filter the noise out and bring it back to the knowledge to
1,000%.
right?
Yes, Suzanne, that's really interesting, but it's true. It's like you have to kind of think critically for yourself, right? Like really trust in and get the good education so you know like what's right and wrong, because even in the treatment room, people are going to come in and be like, "Oh, well, how is this treatment? Like how is like that random treatment that I saw on Instagram better than the one I'm doing here with you?" And you like really have to just like know your science and know your stuff to be able to explain that to them too. So,
So true.
yeah.
Yes. To keep your credible and confidence up too, right?
Exactly. Yes.
So you also do social media and
Just
not just for
adding
one
that on the
company.
list.
You do it for a few.
Yeah.
And so you're basically the one that's posting and putting everything on there, just to clarify that. How so you, that's a lot of hats you're wearing. How do you stay focused, or what are some tips you can bring into it? Because even as an entrepreneur by themselves, they're most likely doing what you're doing. So how do you keep yourself from burning out, from staying creative, keeping the passion going? What do you do? How do you manage all of this?
Yeah, it's a lot. Sometimes I think about it and I'm like, "Whoa, what am I doing?" but honestly, like I think the beauty industry, it attracts this certain type of people. Suzanne, I feel like you're the same way. Like we're just excited to learn and we just like want to learn everything
And share it.
and just share it. Yeah. So I just like I went into the beauty industry and I was like, I want to learn as much as I can and get all the experience, and I'm so excited about all of it. So that's how I ended up into so many different hats, and I'm really enjoying it. Social media is one outlet that I really love because I can be really creative. And working in like different, like working as promoting myself, but then also other brands is really, really interesting because that's kind of two different sides. So that I've really enjoyed. But it is a lot. And with burnout, I think everyone has done it. Again, in the beauty industry, I feel like it's just really, it's like a rite of passage to go through burnout, honestly. right?
Or
But
feeling
yeah.
overwhelmed, right? It's just, yeah. But you
A
also,
1,000%.
did you have moments where you had to reassess and, or maybe set boundaries?
That's exactly it, Suzanne. Yeah, I was just gonna say that. I think I had to go through burnout and like working 7 days a week and being overwhelmed, and get to that point to be like, okay, I need to set some boundaries. I need to like listen to, this sounds so hokey, but I always tell people, I'm like, you really need to listen to your intuition, because like honestly, whenever I've like gone against my boundaries and I'm like, okay, this really doesn't feel good to me, even just like booking a client when I'm not available, or you know, I'm rushing to get them done or whatever, it just like doesn't feel good. And I really like had to make sure and be confident and listen to that. Again, it takes like practice. When I was younger, I didn't know, and I was just like accepting all of these jobs and accepting as much as I could, because I was like, maybe that's what you're supposed to do, right? But
That's really interesting. I love that you, the light went off and recognized in within yourself, because I think it's something we all do. We just take on more and more, and especially I'm speaking to our audience that are like entrepreneurs because they are taking on all of it by themselves. But we always talk about the boundaries and honoring yourself. Your self-care is number one. As they say, you have to fill your cup before you can help others. But I guess
1,000%.
it's true. You have to go through it to then go, wait a second. You can tell people all the time or help people, or I mentor a lot of professionals and I tell them all the time, well, you'll see when the time comes. Like, just remember it's okay. And I think that's probably the most challenging thing is to be, I know this client really wants in and I feel terrible, but I can't
Yeah.
do this to myself anymore,
A
right?
1,000%. Yeah. And one lady actually working in the distribution company with me, she told me something one time, and I think about it all the time. And she was like, teach people how to treat you. And it's so
Oh,
true.
so
And
true.
same thing, like light bulb went off, and I was like, this is, it's so true, especially clients. I mean, you have to teach them, like, this is my schedule.
Stick with it.
I'm not bending it for you, because then they kind of get used to it, right?
Yes. You're setting
So,
yourself up for unfortunate challenges that are going to present themselves. Like, I know when people start out in this industry, you will just want to say yes to everything because you think that's how you build your clients.
exactly.
But you're right. These are the hours, especially when you're doing out of your home. They think, well, you're at home anyways. And I warned them. I said, listen, they're going to try to take advantage. They're going to text you at 10 o'clock at night saying, why haven't you answered me? Because you
Yep.
did it. You were responding. Set your hours. Only respond in those business hours, those operating hours. But people will text feeling that's good, and then they're upset. The clients have happened numerous times to people. And I said, well, time to fix that. And it's so hard. I know a few that are, their personalities are just, they just feel awful, awful, and they feel so terrible. But I love that point that you said, like you really need to treat yourself well and have the respect of your client. And that brings up that professionalism. We're not friends here, right? It's supposed to be a client
1,000%. Yeah. And I feel like that's the thing people forget about too, is at the end of the day, they're not your friends. Like you become so bonded with
Friendly,
them.
right? You're
Yeah. And you are
friendly.
friendly. Yeah. And it is such a like a lovely relationship that you have with them. But at the end of the day, I mean, they're coming in for a service and like in the nicest way possible, they don't really care about your personal life, right? Like you have to be the one to say, no, I need this night off. So these are my hours
I'm
and
not
that's
available, and that's
that.
the end of story, right? I mean,
Yeah,
those
yeah.
boundaries are hard. I get it. Like I said, when I was really young and getting into it, I was pretty hungry, but I still set boundaries. They were large hours of operation, I'll say. But for my luck, we didn't have technology like today. So I'm very fortunate I didn't have to go through that. So I feel for people that through Messenger or, messages through social media or texting, that type of thing. So I get it. It's pretty tough, and people expect that immediate response when we are using technology. I think that's the hard part, is I see it all the time, like on our end with a chat on our website, and it's 1 in the morning. Is anyone there? It's like, is this like, no, like nobody's there at 1 in the morning.
Yeah,
It's not a
sorry.
medical, 24/7 thing. But so, and I remember as teens, we talked about it. I said, I think you have to set the boundaries. They know the operating hours. So run those messages within those operating hours, and they'll learn if they send it at 1 in the morning, because they know, okay, I got to do this now, I'm going to forget, but they'll respond when they get there. Right? I think that's important. To You're teaching them, like you said, you're teaching what to expect from, or what you expect from your clients, or whatever that may be, right?
Exactly. Yeah, I think it's really important, but with burnout, you definitely have to go through all of that to figure it out. I mean, I had to go through some long hours and just like you, right? You don't really know, and then you're like, okay, let me change something here.
Reevaluate this situation.
Exactly.
Okay, so regarding social media and brand, let's say presence, any advice for estheticians who feel pressured to be everywhere online?
That's a great question. I feel like because social media is so huge, it is a key part to your business. Even like I don't even have my own business, but I find it really helps to have a sort of lookbook of my services before and afters, that sort of thing.
But even though, Shelby, sorry to interrupt, even though you don't work on your own business, but you are, because even though you work for this Medi Spa, you're building a clientele. You are the brand behind the spa. Of course, I know they're not your clients to take with you on a business. I get that side of things, but you, in order for you to be successful, you need to build a clientele. So it is you are the brand. And sometimes we forget
Exactly.
that, right?
Exactly.
Yeah.
And I think that's so huge too, is like building something that's authentically you. And so people can look at it and choose you to come see you. Like I said before, they're coming to see you. They want to like know you, and there's something that connects with them if they see your social media or your bio or whatever. So I think it's huge to have social media and build your, like you said, your own brand. But it's not everything. I think there's so many like marketing tools out there that help build your business. But for me, I started doing social media and it was very overwhelming because there's so much and there's so much to learn. And like you said, there's a lot of like pressures to it. But I think once you kind of one step at a time, working through everything, figuring everything out, I mean, it's trial and error with anything. Everything is learning, a learning experience. So for me, you just have to start. I just like
I
went
love
into
that.
it blindly, and then now I feel like I'm a little bit more put together. But still I'm like learning random things and I love it. It's a little bit of work, but I mean I like putting in that effort, and yeah, I find it really enjoyable. But I think for like newer estheticians, it's really smart. I mean, like other industries have like LinkedIn and that sort of thing. Whereas I feel like with our business, I'm thinking like hairstylists and like the more aesthetics. It's really, I feel like a lot of people, they look up Instagram before they book. So they like to look through your Instagram and your feed to see like what you specialize in
Who are
or
you,
who
right?
you are. Yeah, exactly. Just to see like if they connect with you, if they like you. So yeah, I feel like it's really, really a big thing, even just to start, like put out bad posts and
Be okay
whatever.
with that.
Yeah, and be okay with it because everyone does. I mean, start with your like 14 followers and just start posting and just see where it gets you because I mean, you might as well just start and just go for it.
Yeah, it doesn't. I think we also, our industry is a little bit like this. We want it to be perfect. And like you said, you just have to do it and you learn from it and try to, watch and hopefully eventually, this is kind of the, I guess, tips I give is that, and then anything you notice that you can put aside to save some money towards helping you in social media of hiring someone part-time is slowly putting a little bit of your money into that. And that's all under advertisement or however you want to call it. But because then you can focus on what you truly love. But it's like, what came first, the chicken or the egg? How do you get going with this stuff, right? But like you
Exactly.
said, just start posting, get out there. You have to show who you are instead of, just the automated photos that are out there and, the reels pre-made, but you really need to show you and showcase you. Because, like you've said it numerous times, they're here to see you and they got to get to know you as the technician, right?
Yeah, exactly.
Awesome. Okay, so what would you say to students or new grads who feel overwhelmed by all the options that are out there? Like, where do they begin? How do they? I know there's a lot of things I can add to it, but we'll just generalize it. What do you think? Because you get to see a lot of the new grads being in the position that you're in.
Yeah. To start, I would say try everything. Like I was so eager, and even now, like I was so eager to learn as much as I could, and I was so interested in the industry and learning all the ingredients and the skincare, and like there's just so much information out there. So I like, for one, try as much as you can and learn as much as you can and just be like really curious about everything. For me, I really found the Sedesco as like a great foundation. Making it full circle, we're going back to the start.
That's okay, yeah.
But yeah, Sedesco really, really helped me like just get my foundation, and then just trying as much as you can. I think at the start, it'll surprise you what you actually enjoy. You don't really know until you tried it. I know for me, when I went into medical aesthetics, laser was something that really stuck out to me, and I never in my wildest dreams did I think that I would like really enjoy laser hair removal and laser treatments and that sort of thing. But now that's like almost all that I do because I just enjoy it so much, and I can't stop talking about it with my clients. And so I think for one, when you're first starting out, learn as much as you can. And then for me, I found it really helpful to kind of niche down once you've learned everything that you could and you felt like you did as much as you could. And then I figured out kind of what I wanted to specialize in.
So if you could give yourself one piece of advice, your younger self, what would it be?
Definitely boundaries, like setting boundaries at the start. I was younger too, so I think I just had to like grow up a little bit and learn a little bit more about myself too. But for sure, learning boundaries and learning that I don't have to work all the time and just, set my boundaries, and that's okay. You can still do it in a nice and kind way. And yeah, that's mostly what I would say.
Excellent. Okay, last question for you. What's exciting you the most about where your career is heading next?
That is such a great question. I don't know. I think just like not knowing, because Like, I never would have thought any of this or this part of my journey would happen. So I think just like really exciting is all the new technology and the skincare and products and brands and all of that fun stuff is coming out, and just like not knowing what's next. But I know that I'm like still in love with the industry and I still love learning. And yeah, it's just like really exciting to be in that position.
Well, that's awesome. I'm so glad this finally worked out. I know we chatted about it before that you could come on and we finally made it work.
Yay.
So thank you, Shelby, for joining us on Beauty Babble. I love
Thank you
it.
so much, Suzanne.
And if anyone has any questions or comments, feel free to comment under the post if you'd like. Or you can also reach out to me directly. All the information is there. Thank you so much, Shelby, again. And until our next episode on Beauty Babble, have a great day.
Thank you, Suzanne. Bye.